It's good to be here.
Amen.
And it's good to see everyone out this morning. And certainly glad to see Brother Moore.
Amen.
And some of his congregation with us. And so we appreciate that. Appreciate that he would take time out to come down to Little Bethlehem.
Amen.
And we love the Lord Jesus art. There is some that's out this morning, and for some reason or another, but God is still God.
Amen.
And you know, we can declare things the same as He declared things. And I declare this morning that God's here.
Amen.
And I know that He's here because I'm looking at Him. I have an understanding where God's at.
Amen.
God's in His people.
Amen.
We don't have Him out here floating around no more.
That's right.
He's not a floater.
No.
Amen. He's not that. He's in His people. And just looking at a few things this morning on the seed of God. And it's Abraham's seed. He called it a faith seed.
Right.
Everything's in the faith. It's in the seed.
Amen.
Right.
And you could call it the faith seed, or you could call it the revelation seed.
Amen.
So if it's a revelation seed, then it's already a revelation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what God wants to do, He wants to push that out. He wants to quicken what He put in you. And then He wants to push it out. He
Amen.
Wants to see the benefits of it.
Amen.
He wants to see it grow.
Amen.
So we're here this morning, and we're very grateful that, again, that Brother Moore come by our way. And, we usually try to cut things short, and I do want Brother Moore to know, and I've told him this before, I want him to preach what's on his heart.
That's right.
Now, if I end up crawling under the bench, that's fine. I still want him to preach what's on his heart. So, and no, we don't want to restrain God.
You won't
do no good if you try to put brakes on God.
Forget it.
And we just don't do that. So we do have some talent here this morning. I think what I'm going to do is just turn it over to Brother Moore, and I will let him lead it, guide it the way he wants to from here on. And see, I'm not good at this right here. I just get up and usually preach, but when it comes to turning things over and having the right words to say, sometimes I'm not too good at that.
Praise the Lord.
But I want to turn it over to Brother Moore, whoever wants to sing, and Sister Clarice, she brought her violin. She's pretty good, isn't she?
Yeah.
So we're glad for everyone. And Brother Moore, if you would, just come on in. I'll turn it over to you. And this is yours right here.
What's that?
The water.
I'm double up like I did in Philippines.
Amen.
Good to see you
too.
Amen. Well, I think what I'll do, well, you were saying you had talent here. I was thinking about your people at your church. I was going to talk about ours. Well, I guess you're talking about us.
I'm not you.
So it's good to be here. And what I think I'll do is, I guess, I didn't know Clarice had her violin. She must have pulled it out of the trunk. The people that we have here from our church, if you want to sing or say something, now's your time to do it.
And I can praise God real quick.
Yes.
Amen. Thank the Lord for the day. Thank you for what all He's done. You know, Brother Moore's been talking to us about building the foundation.
Yes.
You know, you've been saying you've got to build that house on the right foundation.
That's right.
And I thank God for that word. I thank God that He allowed me to see this truth, you know.
Amen.
It's a privilege.
Yes,
it's a privilege.
Is,
and, you know,
yes, it is.
You don't go find God. God finds you.
God
stopped me out, and God brought me this
truth.
And He brought me all the way through. You know, you can't work yourself up to your revelation. There's nothing you can do. You know, you just have to fall back in God's arms.
Amen.
And let God take over.
Amen.
Amen.
And just surrender yourself and, you know, make this the first thing in your life, the most important thing in your life. And God has privileged me to do that. And I thank Him for that. And thank Him for He's given me a wonderful wife. You know, she stands by my side.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and now that I'm retired, you know, I say this all the time. We get to sit there in the morning and, you know, in the dark of the morning, we get up before the light comes up, and we just talk about God.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
we just meditate on the Word of the Lord.
Yes,
you know, that's a privilege. It's a privilege to see the Scriptures.
Amen.
It's a privilege to see how it all comes together.
Right.
How it's just perfectly, you know, just links together. And You know, there's nothing that comes forth that I don't believe.
Amen.
There's stuff that comes forth that I don't understand.
Amen.
There's nothing that comes forth that I don't believe.
Amen.
And in time, I understand it all.
Amen.
In time, God just reveals it to me. And, yes. You know, we've been talking about, you know, we can have 20-watt light bulbs or 100-watt light bulbs. I just thank God I'm a light bulb.
Amen.
That's all that matters to
him. That's right.
You know, and in the middle of the night, that little light you put out there, that night light you put out there, you know, it helps you not to fall over as you get up.
That's right.
You know, I thank God for being a light.
Amen.
And, you know, and like you say, Brother Jerry, God put this in us to manifest.
Right.
He didn't put us in it to just sit on.
No.
He told us to go out. He told us. And I can't help but manifest it.
Amen.
You know, it's in me. And it just comes out automatically. And I just thank God.
Amen.
Thank you for the truth. Thank you for letting us be here.
Amen.
Thank you for the love. The last time I was here, I went home and I told my wife, I said, as we sat there, I said, I felt so much love in that church.
Amen.
It just really touched me.
True. Amen.
I just praise God. God.
Amen.
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 Anybody else?
I have a testimony.
Okay, let Dawn go, and then you can come up when you're good.
We could sing that new song we just learned Thursday, Jesus, Jesus, Lord.
Amen. Yeah, we can sing that. Then we can sing that, but you want to testify and let Clarice play, then we'll sing that when I get up. How's that?
I'm very grateful to be here. I love everyone.
Amen.
I've been here for many, many years.
Yes.
Before I got married, I was 16 years old when I met y'all, and you've been special to me every day since. I loved your parents, and I just thank God. Thank God for my husband. Thank God for the word he's given us, because it's so real, and it directs our lives, and I'm just grateful
Amen.
To be able to hear and eat it and love it.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
You know, it's really hard to get up here and just, you know, your heart is full. He has given us everything in this day and this hour.
Yes.
He bought, the seals are open.
Yeah.
We know we are the manifestation of the word of God for this hour. And you know, we look around us and we see everything. The world is falling apart.
Man.
Oh, it's just, it's crazy. And I thank God. I thank God for my pastor. I was just thinking how good God's been to me. I wasn't looking for him. He came looking for me.
Amen.
And he gave me everything I needed right through that man.
Right.
That man has blessed me. He has led me, has guided me.
Yes.
So when I came to church this morning, I said, I'm not going home to my home church. But wherever I am, I'm going to lift up
That's
his name.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
So I like to worship.
Yes.
When I come to church, I wear my flat shoes. Because, I don't wear anything too confined.
Yeah.
But I know my arms are going to be in the air.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he's good to me.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask Sister Dawn, I'm going to sing one of my old favorite songs. I like old songs.
Yes.
Give me a Jesus. Let's do, this is the song, a testimony. I've loved this song since I was 17 years old. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and then my Father died, and he devote that same revenge for such a one. Now I am happy all the day.
want to say anything? Are you good?
But you know me. I'm the town crier, so I just get so full. I just come down in tears. But I really love that song. It was something that our mother used to sing. So when you started, I didn't know what it was.
Sorry.
I was little, so I didn't know all the words.
The verses.
But I'm thankful for being here this morning. And you're right, it is a loving spirit when you come in here. And I'm rereading Brother Graham's book. And I can't think of the name of it.
The All Right Says.
But what I read this morning just filled my heart. Amen. It went something to the effect of, you know, you have to feel the Spirit before you act. Mm-hmm. You don't act before you feel the Spirit.
Right.
And that just meant something to me, and that's why I didn't want to stand up until it was time, because it's the writing is just so plain, and I think before I had that Spirit, I was trying to act.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to dress the part and do the right thing, but I have a Spirit.
Amen.
And I'm redeemable, man. I just feel privileged to be in the house with you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praveen, would you like to say anything? This is the man behind the camera. He said no, so I won't push him, because I'm glad he wanted to come with us.
Amen.
We had bought this stuff when I went to the Philippines to be able to record services back at home, and it goes, I don't know if he's live or if he's recording it. No, he's recording it, but it can be put back on the church library, and then our congregation, they always want to be a part of everything. They don't want to miss nothing. So they'll get to watch this service, and so I appreciate him coming. He told me Wednesday, he said, well, do you want to record the service? I said, oh, no, don't worry about it. Brother Doug's not going to be here, and so I was making all the kind of excuses why. I said, don't worry about it. And he said, well, I'll go. And I thought, well, if Brother Praveen's going to go, I'll never turn him down to go anywhere with me. So I appreciate him doing that. And so that's why we're recording. We're not recording because I want to be a big shot on TV. So it's not that at all. It's really because Praveen said he wanted to come. I said, well, yeah, come on. Yeah. So he brought all the equipment, and it worked out well in the Philippines. So it gives us the ability now to, when I go out somewhere, that I can actually record for my church to be able to see it, because they always like to hear the services. So, Sister Renee, I see you're back there. You want to say something?
I don't ever want to miss the chance. Still, God, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, God came and got me. He found me too, sis. And, you know, I am blessed to be Doug Allen's wife, and I'm blessed to know this family.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Dawn, that song you. Yeah. Oh, what was that? Because I was trying to remember. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me. Song to sing it. Peace.
us, Lord, to me. One more time, we can sing this together. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, to me. He's my master. Master, Savior, Prince of Peace. He's the ruler, ruler of my heart today. Jesus, Lord. Heavenly Father,
yes.
We're so thankful that you are our ruler.
Yes.
We're thankful that you are our Lord.
Yes.
You are our Redeemer. You're everything to us. You're our Master. Lord, we all serve something.
Yes.
We all serve some God. If it's not you, it's the God of this evil age. But Lord, I'm so glad that you're my Lord this morning. That you're my master. I'm not ashamed to say you're my master and my ruler.
Yes.
You're everything to me, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, as we come here this morning, we're so thankful for this opportunity. Thank you for Brother Allen opening the door to us to come to us. And when he invited, Lord, I quickly come this way knowing that, Lord, it's your will that we be together today. And Father, we want you to just help us to lay everything aside, all of our problems, all of our shortcomings. Forgive us for our shortness, Lord, and let us be what you want us to be in this hour. Lord, as we come here this morning, we have the word opened up before the people, but Father, I pray that you open up our hearts, that you'll be able to speak to us in such a way that when we walk out of these doors today, we'll be better off than we were when we came here.
Yes.
Lord, we ask you to touch those that are sick, the request that went forth. Move, Lord, because we know that, Lord Jesus, you are the healer. I ask you to just have your way today in this service. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. It's good to be back to little Bethlehem again.
Amen.
And I know that I've been coming down, and I like coming down because I usually come when the brothers are invited to come and preach, and I can just sneak in the door and sit and be able to listen to the services, and I enjoy that. And, you know, a preacher likes to be preached to, too. We all have to eat.
Yeah.
I don't care how much good a cook you are, you got to eat, too. So when a minister gets a chance to come and just be part of a congregation, it's, they love that because they sort of miss that. Like Brother Allen was saying this morning, he's not used to being the go-between between the sung leader and the minister, because usually he gets up here and it's just time to go and God just takes over and go. But, you know, we're human and we have our own little things that we fight about ourselves. So I understand how that works, and I'm the same way, and our prophet was the same way. You know, when he would get up and he'd get up and start his service, he would talk a little bit, and he'd talk around, and he'd say, "You know what I'm waiting on," you know. And it's the same with us ministers. We can get up here because we're not public speakers, and we haven't been trained in how to hold the attention of the people like denominations do. They know how to whip it up and work it out, and they'll work you over, and by the time they finish, you feel like you've been worked over. But we're just farm boys and just little factory workers and not known about, you know, anything, and never trained. I had a sister-in-law ask me one time, she said, what seminary did you go to? And I said, none, because they don't understand how we can do this.
They think we do it because we have been taught and trained, but we have been taught and trained by the Holy Ghost. And that's where we get our training from. And the same one who taught us is the same one that we depend on to come and speak to us when we do talk. So it's good to be here. It's good to, I'm used to having two mics because that's what we did in the Philippines. They had their mic and we had ours. And yours looked just like mine, so don't let me take the wrong one home. So, but it's good. It's good to be able to come here. I appreciate it. We love the Lord and we love the Word of God. And I'm sort of excited about the message this morning, and I'm trying to settle myself down because, you know, it means a lot to be able to. I haven't even preached this at my home church, and but it's okay. I'll usually, when I go out, I usually preach what I've preached at home because, you know, my people are a little jealous. they always want to hear it first, and that's the way that I always. And Brother Burr was the same way. He'd preach it at home, but. You know, this message that I have that I've been looking at for today, I think it's fitting for this assembling in Little Bethlehem. And I'll take it back home, and I'm glad that Brother Praveen is recording it because if they don't get it preached by me, they can look at this service and they'll be able to receive it. So we'll get started, and I have a scripture reading that I want to start out with, and it's a little bit lengthy, so I won't ask you to stand. But to be able to get the full picture of where I'm going this morning, I want to be able to read this whole piece, and it's exciting to me. So if you will turn with me over to Exodus chapter 16, I want to start over here with verse 11. And I apologize in one sense for the long length of reading, but to get the whole picture, we really need this. This is in the time of Moses and the children of Israel, and they had left Egypt. And the children of Israel, they were concerned and they were worried because they felt like they weren't being taken care of. And they were a little upset because when they were in Egypt, at least they had a bed. Even if it was just a straw bed, they had some place to get out of the weather, and they had food, whether it wasn't the best food, but at least it was something to eat. And so they spent a lot of time complaining to Moses about the fact that they had come out of Egypt, and they thought, Moses, you brought us out here. We don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything to drink. We don't have this. We had everything that we needed back in Egypt, and we'd have been better off staying in Egypt than coming out here and dying out here in the wilderness and where we don't even know where we're at. Yeah. So the children of Israel were complaining, and isn't that how some people are? And I'll read here in a minute, but to just give you a little background. Isn't that how some people are when they leave denomination? And then they come into the message, and they get over here, and they feel like they don't have nothing to eat. When we have plenty of food in the storehouse, amen. and they feel like we don't have plenty to drink, and we're lacking something to drink, when the Spirit is here so readily, amen. To pour Himself on us, and people come out, but they don't go in. And they come out with the mindset like Lot's wife had, looking back to what they had in denomination. But they were trained in denomination to make you feel good. We're not trained to make you feel good, and we're trained to tell you the truth. And we're here to preach the Word of God no matter how you feel about it. And if you never invite us back, at least we're going to do it one time right. And that's the way we are as far as the ministry is. And like Brother Allen said, he said, if I have to crawl in under the bench, preach the truth. And I thought to myself, you'll crawl in under the bench just like we all do, but you'll crawl back out because we love the Word of God. Amen. And so we're not like the children of Israel who didn't want this. We want this. We're not like the children of Israel who weren't satisfied. I am so satisfied with this message. Well, I'm not looking for another message. I'm not looking for another prophet.
No.
I'm not looking for another kind of anointing. I'm not looking for anything. Everything I needed was provided for me.
Yes.
And that's what was wrong with the children of Israel. They got ahead of God.
See,
they thought that, well, God's going to let them down because God brought us out here, and he didn't even tell us to pack a lunch.
See,
he just told us to walk out and leave everything behind. And they were starting to get hungry and worrying about what they were going to do. And God had an answer for everything, every need that they had.
Amen.
So that's the background to what I'm about to read. I had to get you up to par because otherwise I had to start at verse 1.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
So Exodus chapter 16, starting at verse, I'm going to start with 11.
Right.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel.
Mm.
See, they were murmuring, and complaining. There's, people, there's always somebody's going to complain. They're never happy, never satisfied.
Right.
He said, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh,
amen,
and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God.
Amen.
God always can be found by the fact that he feeds his people.
Amen.
He says, you'll know it's me because I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to feed you. He said, you're going to get food in an appointed time that I'm going to put in place, because it wasn't Moses choosing a when and where and how they were going to be fed. It was God's choosing.
Amen.
But God said, when I feed you, you're going to know it's me.
Amen.
He said, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass, just as God said, and it came to pass that in even the quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew laid round about the host. And when the dew that laid was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there laid a small round thing, as small as a hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they was not what it was. They didn't know what it was. When they ran across God's food, they didn't recognize what it was. There's so much in this right here. I'd be here for a week trying to explain all of this. But just the types and shadows landing here, is just, I can't hardly pass them up. I'm trying to read fast because there's a lot of reading, but there's just something in every verse. They didn't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat.
Amen.
The Lord gives the bread.
That's right.
Amen. Lord always gives the bread.
Amen.
This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. Now, I love this.
Okay, come on.
God wasn't wanting you to try to get it all. He only gives you what you can handle.
That's right.
Amen.
He will only feed you what you can eat.
Come on.
There's some people that can eat a lot.
Well,
you know what? When I go to a smorgasbord restaurant, I always try to get the biggest eater I can find to take with me.
Right.
Because I know when I go, they're going to get their money's worth out of me because I don't eat that much. But if I take somebody that got a good appetite, I can sit there and not put anything on my plate hardly and sit and watch them eat and think, good, give for me, eat for me. They can eat a lot, you know. And when you're young, you got all that metabolism that you can go in there. I can take Skyler somewhere to eat and he can eat 2 and 3 plates and I got 1 plate and I'm through and taking half of it home. But then you got a bigger appetite than I do. So he told them, he said, gather every man according to his eating, and Omar for every man according to the number of your persons, take every man for them which are in his tents. Now everybody didn't have the same number of people in their tents.
Right.
Some people had nobody in their tents but them, and all they took was an Omar for themselves. They took enough for them. And then some people had a bunch of people in their tents and had a bunch of kids, and he had to take a lot more than what the other person did. Now, isn't it funny how that works? Somebody can come to church and get a big blessing from God.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody come to church and hardly get anointed at all.
Yeah.
And the one that don't get anointed at all, they'll get jealous of those that got rolled the aisle thinking, you know, well, you should have had all that anointing on you. I should have had that too. Well, you take what you're supposed to have, and I take what I'm supposed to have. I might need a bigger anointing on me because I got a bigger problem coming up Monday. Right. And you might be just skating through on Monday, not doing anything and don't need anything. So don't get jealous of your brother or sister of how much they get. Just enjoy what you know, Brother Bum, talking about the how much you get. You know, you go to the soup line, and they had a soup line out, and people were in line, and this person, everybody brought their little cups to get their soup in, and this guy got in line, and he had this big old pot. And the people got in line behind him with their little cups and their little bowls, and they were looking at that guy, and you know, there is no way. When he gets up to that table, they're going to turn him away, or they're going to put one little scoop in there, and he's going to be embarrassed by the size of the bowl that he brought. And they all stood in line, and as the line aged up, they just talked about that man. Yeah, he got that big old pot. And it took two hands to carry his pot. So then when it got up to the place where they started to get the soup, everybody in line behind him had their head and turned around looking and see, he's going to get that one little scoop like everybody else, and that's going to be it. They put the one scoop in and said, ha, I told you that he put another scoop. They said, wait a minute, he got two scoops. And they put another scoop, and they put another scoop, and they filled his pot.
Phil Michael.
And he took that pot home full of soup, and everybody else got their little bowl. And they thought, how? That is not fair. You get what you expect.
Amen.
If all you want is a little anointing and come to church and get a little bit of anointing, that's all you're going to get. But don't get mad about me because I'm shouting and running the aisle and enjoying this thing. That's, so you come to church, come with a pot. Don't come with a bowl. Come expecting God to do something for you. So here the children of Israel were ordered to get as much that you can have in your house. Get what you need for your home and your tent.
Amen.
And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an Omar, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had nothing lack. So you didn't miss anything if you didn't get a lot. Because that's all you were supposed to get.
Amen.
And if you got a whole lot, you didn't take too much.
Right.
That's where God is.
Right.
He's never going to overfeed us, and he's never going to underfeed us.
Amen.
He always takes care of his bride.
That's right.
Amen.
Nobody was lacking. They gathered every man according to his eating. And in this morning service, you're going to gather according to your eating. You're not going to eat what I eat, and I'm not going to eat what you eat,
right.
But when we walk out of here, we're all going to be full.
Amen.
And we're all going to walk out of here, and God's going to talk to every last one of us, and one's going to walk out of here, and God said this to me, and somebody else is going to walk out of here and say, God said this to me, and you don't get jealous over what God told them. You thank God for what he told you.
Amen.
That's right.
So every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it to the morning.
Right.
Don't sit here today and think, I'll think about what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pray. I'll go home and pray about it. See, that's what people do. That's where they make their mistake. God's talking, and they want to go home and pray about it.
Come on.
I want to go find out if it's God or not. You know, if it wasn't God, he wouldn't be saying it.
Amen.
You know, either he's a man of God or he's not.
Amen.
And if he's a man of God, you don't have to go pray about nothing.
No.
Just eat.
Amen.
Just eat.
Amen.
And don't leave it till morning. Don't wait until, well, I'll go home and listen to the service again and see if it's good, if I really want. No, you can't eat this tomorrow. Do you know tomorrow morning this service will be old?
Old.
Right.
Amen.
And you should be already looking for the next service.
Amen.
You know, they get... sometimes I'll tease at home and we'll eat breakfast and you eat your meal. It's like, well, you know, and Jeremiah always reminded of Brother Allen used to say that, well, we got that over with, you know.
Yeah.
And what you do is after breakfast you're looking for the next meal. Now it's like, well, now I got to get ready for lunch.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is with the Word of God. When we come to church, you eat the Word of God. Don't put it out and put it up and wait and try to hold on to it. Don't worry about the rest of it. You eat what God's serving,
amen.
And then when you finish this service, you should already be getting hungry for the next service. Said, well, we got breakfast over with. What's for lunch? You know, we got this service over with. What's good? I felt a little guilty this morning because I felt greedy because I come to church at our church on the way here, and I was listening to Brother Jay preaching on the way here, and then I'm going to have service here, and I'm going to get to eat here, and then I'll go back home, and then we have a service this evening. So I was like, this is going to be I'm having a lot of eating today. So, you know, but that's good. That's what the bride never gets tired of eating the Word of God.
Amen.
He said, let no man leave it until morning. Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto them. Some people will never listen. Some people never listen. Some people sit here today and say, well, I hear what he's saying, but I'll go home and pray about it. Some people didn't listen to what Moses said. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, they hearken not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until morning.
Yep.
And listen what happens if you don't eat the word for today.
Amen.
And it bred worms and stank. That's what happens if you don't eat what's being preached right now today. You don't have time. You don't have time to wait till tomorrow and pray about it and go home and think.
Amen.
Just listen to what God's saying right now.
Amen.
You say, how do you know it's God? Because I know who sent me. Well, and you say, well, I don't believe you're God. Well, don't worry about it. I'm not even worried if you don't believe it's God. I'm telling you, God's speaking to you right now.
Amen.
I believe that God's talking here right now. And I believe if you don't take what's being fed right now, you try to think about it and decide whether it's yours or not. By the time you get to it, eat it tomorrow, it'll be full of swivel tails and it'll be stinking.
Amen.
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 Had worms and stank, and Moses was wroth when the prophet was upset.
Amen.
He told them what to do, and they didn't do it. They knew as much as the prophet. They knew as much as the preacher. They know what they're doing. I've got God just as much as you. Yeah, they had God just as much as Moses. The same God that led Moses out of Egypt is the same God that led them out of Egypt. But the difference was Moses was ordained to lead them through.
That's right.
And they weren't.
Amen.
And they gathered it every morning, so they learned their lesson. Don't try to take over to the next age what God's fed in the previous.
Amen.
And they gathered every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. You can't even wait. You say, I'll eat it later. You know, a lot of times when we go to restaurants, we'll take leftovers home.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll warm it up later. You can't do that with the Word of God.
No.
When God's feeding you, you have to eat what he's feeding you right now.
Right.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And they gathered up every morning according to his eatings, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day, see, I learned so much in this, the church ages, all of this is right in here.
Amen.
And it came to pass on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. They got mad. They started to see, number one, they weren't listening. Because Moses told them to do that. And the reason Moses told them to do that was because they were going to only gather food and gather the bread for 6 days. Because God is so true to his word. That's why I love God. He's so true to his word, his types, the shadows, and everything runs. Everything runs together. 6 days he labored. On the seventh day he rested.
Amen.
That's what God did when he created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
So see, God never changes his mind about his word. So anything God does, he always runs consistently with that type.
Amen.
And if you want to find out what God's doing, look and see what he's done.
Amen.
That's why he told him. He said, how they gonna, Moses said, how they gonna know it's you? He said, I'm gonna feed them, and then they'll know it's me.
Amen.
Because whenever I come on the scene, I always feed my people.
Amen.
God always feeds his people.
Amen.
But then he got to the sixth day. Remember, they gathered food in the morning, but then they actually gathered food in the evening as well. And Brother Brown said the prophet always comes at the end of the age.
Amen.
So at the end of the sixth age, when you got to the seventh, you have to have enough that's going to keep you.
Okay.
So when we got to this age, we needed enough that was going to keep us.
That's right.
Not just gather, because there's going to come a point that you can't get any more message.
Oh,
there's going to come a point when you can't get any more word. There's going to come a point where you won't have any more prophets.
Oh.
There's going to come a point where you'll have anything.
Amen.
And you're going to have enough to sustain you through the age that you're living in.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't have a prophet now.
That's right.
He's gone.
Right.
We're not getting any new messages.
See?
But Brother Branham said he put food in the storehouse.
Amen.
Because he knew that on that seventh day that we weren't going to be able to gather anymore.
Amen.
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 But those preachers, they never listen to the word of God. They always got a better way. They always got a new way to do things. And when they saw the children of God doing what God told them to do, they got mad and went to tell mom and daddy on them.
Amen.
They went to tell Moses about him. Because they were supposed to gather enough on the sixth day to hold them through.
Amen.
So they went and told Moses in verse 23. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. In other words, that's what God said do.
Right.
Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath. And unto the Lord, bake that which ye bake today, and seize that ye seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay it up for you to be kept unto the morning. Now, God told them only get enough for the day that you're living in. But for some reason, at the end of the sixth day, God said, get as much as you can get for 2 days. It's going to have to hold you. And keep it till morning. Now, before it would... it's spoiled. It was impossible. Do you realize in the ages it was impossible to keep the message of that messenger over to the next age?
That's right, man.
Wow.
But for some reason, at the end, we not only keep what Paul preached, we keep what Irenaeus preached, we keep what Martin preached.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on.
We keep what Luther preached.
Yes.
Because remember, when Luther was in the age, he preached, but when it got time for Wesley to come on the scene, what Luther preached had wiggle tails.
That's right. Amen.
It wouldn't keep to the next day.
That's right. Amen.
And when Wesley preached, what he preached was good for his day, but then when Pentecostal came, what Wesley preached wasn't good for the day anymore.
That's right. Amen.
See?
You couldn't stay in Wesleyan. You have to move on in to Pentecost.
Yes.
Right.
And then at the end time, after Pentecost,
yes,
you couldn't do what you did with Wesley.
Right.
Pentecost, those messages would not do for us.
Amen.
But it's funny because at the end time, and I don't have time to go on with this, but you'll know what I'm talking about. At the end time, at the restoration time, he was going to restore all.
Yes.
Amen.
All of it was going to be good.
Okay.
What the caterpillar had chewed away, and the cankerworm and the palmer worm, I will restore.
Yes.
In other words, you're going to have a day that you're going to need all of it. You weren't going to just have justification. You weren't going to just have sanctification. You weren't just going to have restoration of the gift. But at the end of that sixth day, you're going to need all of it.
Amen.
And what I'm going to give you on the seventh day is going to last the whole day.
Amen.
And now remember, what you ate on the seventh day wasn't any different than what they ate on the previous days.
Amen.
It was the same manner, but God changed the way that it was reserved.
Right.
God put a storehouse in this day to where the manna that was gathered through all the angels was put in that storehouse because Brother Branham was brought on the scene to restore every bit of that. And he asked the people, he asked God, he said, what am I going to do with these people that I'm gathering? He said, take them back into the Word. That's what, you're no longer going to take them to a denomination. You're not going to take them to a group. You're going to take them back into the Word. Because this right here is what stored the Word. The Word was the manna that was restored in our day. And it doesn't get old.
No.
It doesn't get wiggle tails in it.
No.
It doesn't get, we'll sit and we'll eat this manna this whole day.
Amen.
We're not getting anything new. We're not getting anything else. We don't want anything new. We don't want anything else. That's why I don't need another prophet. That's why I don't need another message. That's why I don't need another messenger. I've got everything I need. And God said, I will prove to you that it's me because I will feed my people.
Amen.
And when I feed my people, they'll know that I am God.
Amen.
No one's ever had what we had. No one's ever been able to have a message that didn't denominate and stay fresh. It's been 60 years and this thing is just as fresh today than it was when Brother Branham brought it.
Amen.
My goodness. How do you know this is right? Because God said, I'll keep feeding my people. And we've been eating and eating and eating and eating and eating. And he said, you'll know that I am God. Because I'll keep feeding you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. In an hour that we're living in, these old preachers, they didn't do what God said do. That's why they try to find something new. They try to come up with something different. They think, well, we got to eat something different on this day, the seventh day. We got to have something different. No. Brother Branham said, the message is not something outside of the book.
Amen.
We can't have anything other than what God served all the way through.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
Don't add to. Right. And don't take away.
Amen.
The preachers didn't understand that that was the Word of God. Store it up. Put it up. And here we're eating this thing and people are getting tired. They're like, well, the prophet didn't come back.
Man.
Well, the Lord didn't come. Well, it's been 60 years. It's been a long time. Surely if God would have done it, he'd have said, they start reasoning. And they get tired of waiting. I don't feel no one's tired. I mean, the same manna that's been served all day, and I'm loving it. It's like I've never had it before. It's just as fresh as if I was sitting under the prophet. It's just as real as he preached the first time. And it does just as much to me as it did when he had it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The people are getting tired. He didn't come in 77. They turned in their books. He kept waiting. And they listened. And they watched. And surely, they calculated everything out. Oh, God's got to come in 77. Oh, God's got to come in 80. Oh, God's got to come in 90. Oh, God's got to come. And every time, they get tired. Because they're not doing what the prophet said that God told them. Take that manna that you have stored up on that seventh day and just eat on that. Eat on that all day long. It won't get wiggle tails. It won't get worms. It won't get old. It won't get tiresome. This is sweeter to me than it was when I first heard it. It means more to me now than it did in 1980. I thought it was good when I first ate the first piece in this message. Oh, but I ate more and I ate more. And as the day went on, I kept eating more. And I took a piece of bread and I took a piece of quail and I took a piece of... I just ate and ate and ate and I'm eating this thing and I don't get tired. My clothes don't wear out. I don't get one. Do you realize the children of Israel's clothes never wore out? The same shoes they left Egypt with. The whole time they walked, they stayed right there. Why? They were in the middle of a fresh manna. Something that don't get old, that don't wear out, that don't get tired.
Amen.
I didn't get tired of following Moses.
Thank you, Lord. Come on.
I didn't get tired of what Moses preached.
Come on.
I listened to every word that was brought to us.
Yes.
And when he said store it up, I watched him store it up.
Yes.
And when he said eat on this until he comes again, I'm eating on this until he comes again.
Yes.
But these preachers didn't do that. And they went and told Moses, and Moses said, hey, this is what God said do. said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will see, and that which remaineth over, lay it up.
Amen.
Lay it up for you. That's totally different than what he told them before. In the ages, we could not keep that food.
That's right.
But when we got to this day, the seventh day, stir it up, put it up, keep it up, and eat on that until the next day.
Amen.
Eat on that until the eighth day.
Yes.
Eat on that until the new day. Eat on that until we're ready to get a new... Do you realize when we leave here, we're going to eat on this until we leave here?
Right.
And do you know when we leave here, we're going to go to the marriage supper, and when we get there, we're going to eat and drink with him?
Amen.
That'll be a new day.
Amen.
You keep this, hang on to this until that day, and when you get there, he'll give you what you need to eat. Because how do you know? Because I am the Lord thy God, and I always feed my people.
Amen.
How do you know it's going to be you? Because I feed them.
Come on.
Right.
Yes.
How do you know that this message is right? Because he fed us.
Amen. Yes, you did, Lord. Yes, you did.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
It'll keep until morning.
Oh, yes, it
will. And lay it up until the morning in Moses' bed, and they laid it up till the morning as Moses' bed, and it did not stink, neither were there any worms therein.
There it is.
This message that we have is perfect.
Right.
It's complete. It gives us everything we need.
Amen.
All the nutrients.
Everything.
I don't know much about vitamins and all of that, but you smart people out there know what the body takes to function. Spiritually, I do know that. I've got every vitamin, everything that I need, all the nutrients in this world that I need all the rest of the day.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't need to dig anything else up. I don't need to, this doesn't get old, it doesn't have wiggle tails, it never gets tiresome. I love it. I love it better every day, as the sun says. It's more real to me now than it was when I first began.
Amen.
Every time God serves up another quail and I eat that thing, it just means that much more to me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Moses said, eat.
Yes.
Eat that today. And what we have, Moses told us to eat this.
Yes.
Amen.
Eat that today. For today is a Sabbath unto the Lord.
Yes.
There remaineth a rest.
Amen.
We've stepped into that rest. We stepped into the Sabbath.
Amen.
We stepped into a place where we're not worried about all the things everybody. Everybody's worried about everything under the sun. Not me.
No.
Everybody's worried about doing this and doing that and getting this and getting that and holding this and holding that. I'm in the Sabbath.
Yes.
I got to a place where do you realize on the Sabbath you don't work?
That's right. Thank you.
You don't do any work. That's why he gave them enough to hold them. I got enough revelation and word in me now that I don't have to work up nothing.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
People are still trying to work their way into heaven. You cannot work your way into heaven. We've moved into a place of rest. We've moved into God's Sabbath. And God didn't expect you to try to hold it all together. God didn't expect you to try to do everything. Do what you can, but what you can't do, don't worry about it.
Amen.
Because you moved into his rest, and he will supply you with everything that you have need of.
Yes.
People still trying to work their way into heaven, trying to be good enough, trying to get this, trying to get that. Let me tell you, we're not on the sixth day anymore. We've moved into the Sabbath. And when you move into the Sabbath, there is no work done there.
Amen.
No labor there. You put your axes down. You put your hoes down. You put your rakes down. You put everything down. You don't work on the... I used to be a kid, and we'd get on my grandmother's porch, and on Sunday, we'd sit out there playing jacks. Y'all older people know what jacks are. I don't even know if the young ones even know what it is. But we'd play jacks on the porch. And my grandmother would come to the door. She'd say, put those jacks away. This is Sunday. And we weren't working. We were having a good time. We're out in the country, 90 acres of woods, and nothing to do. We didn't have nothing to do on Monday. But my grandmother wouldn't let us do. She wouldn't let us play jacks on seashore. Pahani, put those jacks away. Put this away. They didn't want you to do nothing. So on the Sabbath day, you don't work no more. People still think we're trying to work our way into heaven. Do you realize that God has given us all the food that we need and that we are not needing anything else?
Amen.
Put away your hoe. Put away your rake. Stop trying to work your way into heaven. You can't work your way into heaven in this day.
Amen.
All you can do is eat what He's given you. All you can do is eat what He's already set aside for us. How do you know it's God? Because I'm feeding you.
Amen.
But don't have it, no.
Amen.
That, no. That, no.
Thank you, Lord.
That, no. That, no. There remaineth a rest for the children of God.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, we've moved out of time. We've moved into the eighth day. We've moved into God's eternal day. We've moved into the day of rest. And he said, there's no more sevens, no more threes, no more nothings.
Amen.
No more work. You say, well, then I just go out and rob a bank. Yeah, go ahead. You'll just be a son of God in jail.
That's right.
That doesn't take away your sonship, but it takes away your freedom. Well, I'll just do what I want. You should do what you want. But what you should want to do is serve God.
Amen.
That's what the sons and daughters of God want. I was telling our sisters yesterday, we had a sister's brunch. Well, I was the only brother there. We had a sister's brunch, and I told him, I said, you all aren't like the world. When Brother Brennan was preaching this in the 60s, he was preaching to people who didn't even want this. Where now, you're people, you're sisters who want to please God. You want to do the right thing. You want to be. And when you find that you're short, you move forward. It's not like you're going to the judgment, but it's our desire to please God.
Amen.
We want to do this thing. I don't have to be in church on Sunday. I could be out at the beach. I could be out at the fishing hole. I could be out at the hunting tree or whatever you think is your Sunday best. But I choose to be here. I choose to serve God. He said, well, you're not as good as you should be. Maybe not. But I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
And I'm pressing, as Paul said. I'm glad Paul said I'm pressing. Because it shows that you're not there yet. You're pushing. You're trying to do. And this is not the kind of work that we did through the six ages. I'm pressing me. I'm trying to get to that mark.
Amen.
I see a glorified body just ahead of me. And I'm trying to do what I do because I love what I love.
Amen.
I'm not doing this because this is a shotgun wedding. God's not threatening me. God's not trying to put some more on top of me to make me serve Him. I serve Him because I love Him. I serve Him because I want to serve Him. I do all that I want to do.
Amen.
I choose to follow His word. When He said put food up, I believe that. When He said eat this, I believe that.
Amen.
And I do that. These priests didn't do that. It's always, it's funny how it always, the rulers, I'm glad he called them rulers, because all they do is have a bunch of rules. You got to get, first they didn't know not to keep it. All they, see, that shows you the difference between somebody with a revelation and somebody just following the word.
That's true.
See. When Moses said gather, all that they could do with their mental understanding was gather. But then they didn't listen to the whole word of Moses.
That's right.
Because Moses said, only gather for your day.
Yes.
They were worried about, all they knew by their reading was to gather. So they gathered all this and they hoarded it. Well, if I can get this much and I can get this much. And they filled the tent and they're all in their sleeping bag.
Oh, Lord.
They got worms.
Man.
So they never got it right.
Amen.
So then they're like, okay, we can't gather but for one day. See, that's the difference between a believer and somebody who's following the word by the letter.
See.
They were following God by the letter. And as long as Moses said this, they did exactly. You know, that's what cracks me up about people who say, just say what the prophet said. Oh, I believe in that. But they don't believe in that. Because they say what the prophet said, just like the prophet said it. But you know what? That wasn't what the prophet was saying. You got to get, Brother Brown said, you got to get in the same spirit of the composer. It ain't so much read the music. You can read the music and play it wrong. But if you get in the same condition and the same position as the composer, you'll play it just like the composer.
Amen.
If you hear this message just like the composer gave this message, then you'll play this message just like the composer played it.
Amen.
I am playing this message just like Brother Branham. Not because I'm following Brother Branham, because I got a hold of the composer.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, I may not know all the word, as long as I know the author.
That's all
that matters.
Amen.
So these people were following Moses, but they weren't. Remember, out of the 2 million that came out of Egypt, only two went in. Everybody else was following by the letter. And so Moses said, gather. So they gathered. They found that they didn't even hear the part where Moses said, oh, by the way, I only get enough for today. They were already off. They were already running off to gather. They didn't hear the whole story. So then they gathered too much, and then they got the worms, and then they said, okay, we can only gather for today. Yeah, Moses said gather every day. So their plan was to get out there on Sunday morning, on the Sabbath morning, and gather again, like Moses said. But that wasn't what Moses said.
Amen.
So then Moses, they were like, Moses, they gathered for on the Sabbath, and Moses, that's what God said. So they never did get it right. You cannot serve God in this day of rest and get it right without getting Him in you.
Amen.
You're not going to read Brother Branham's books and get this right.
That's right.
You say, what?
That's right.
You're not. He said that it's not going to be by our education that we get this. The third pool is not a public show. You can't even understand the third pool until it happens to you.
Amen.
Brother Brown did not explain to you the third pool.
Amen.
He couldn't. He tried the first pool and explained that. And he explained the second pool. But when he got to that third pool, he couldn't explain that.
That's right.
That's a little room.
Yes.
That's where it goes between you and God. That nobody else can go in there but you and God. And when you go in that little room with Him and you come out the other side, you know what happened, but you can't even tell what happened.
Amen.
Isn't that an awful message? Because people look at you and they're like, well, what about this William Branham? What about this message? And you're like, God sent a prophet. And we believe in a prophet. And they're like, okay, yeah, I see. The scripture says all this. And you tell them all the scriptures. You can even sit down. I sat with a guy and walked through all the scriptures about the coming of a messenger at the end time and Elijah coming off. Went through all that. Okay, yeah. He told me when he finished, at least I see you got scripture. But that's not the third pool.
That's right.
The third pool is not understanding that God sent a prophet.
That's right.
Third pool is not having a bunch of scriptures and running it from Genesis to Revelation. The third pool is a personal revelation between you and Jesus Christ. When you go in that little room, you can't even explain how it happened. You don't even know when it happened. You just know it happened. You say, you know, in the denomination, they say when you get up, when they sing this song, they say, when we get to your day of the week, stand up and say what day you were saved on. And Brother Brown told us we weren't saved on any day. I just know what happened. I don't know when. I just know one day I didn't see, and then the next day I saw.
Amen.
I was sitting there in church when I got my first revelation, sitting there before church even started.
Amen.
And I was sitting there, and this thing fell into place. And I was like, oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. But I was so new that I thought, oh, I felt like tearing that building down. The word was so clear to me, I felt like busting every bench, running all over that place and destroying it. That's how I felt on the inside. But because I was brand new, and I was only been in Fairborn probably a month maybe or so. I was brand new. I was so busy. I was so new that I didn't know that if I shouted and ran the aisles, it would have been okay. That's how new I was. It didn't take that long to deal with me. I was too dumb to hold to my ideals. I knew I didn't know what it was. When I heard Brother Childers preaching, I knew I didn't know what it was. I thought, well, I don't have what this man's got. And I had spoken tongues. I had done everything the apostolic said do. I had the gifts. I had the signs. I had the wonders. I had all that. But I didn't have a word.
Right.
And I sat there before church started, and that just fell on me just like that. And I sat there, and I grabbed the bench, and I was just like, oh, my God. Do you realize? Service hadn't even started, so I couldn't. So the whole service, I was miserable. I was miserable. I sat there, and I held it in, and I held it in, and I held it in. And then I thought, okay. It was so real. You know, when you get a revelation, it's the same words as you read all the time. But then when God speaks, it's like you never ate it before.
Amen.
You can eat the same quail you eaten all week, but when God serves it to you, you're like, man, this is good. So I sat there and I thought, okay, just let me get out of here. And I got back in the car with Nadine and Clarice, and I held it home because I thought, so sure how naive I was. I thought that I finally got this thing, this combination figured out, and all I had to do is tell them what I knew, and it would give them the Holy Ghost. That's how I was really naive. I didn't know how the Holy Ghost worked. I was thinking, all I got to do, it was so real to me, I thought, all I got to do is say these sort of words, and they'll get the Holy Ghost like that, because it was a secret, but I figured it out. And that's how ignorant I was. I thought, I see it. So I held my peace. I drove them home. I was just as good. Grabbed that steering wheel. Didn't say nothing. See how bad I was. I waited till I dropped Clarice off. She ain't got nothing. I actually dropped Clarice off. And I held it. And Nadine lived right around the corner from her. She lived at Sister Martin's house. So I drove to her to Sister Martin's to drop her off. And I thought, okay, let me just start with one person. And I said, Nadine, I know what it is. I'm going, and she said, what? And I said, I'm going to tell you. I was serious. I said, I probably am not supposed to tell you this. That's how naive I was. I didn't understand. I never had a revelation, so I didn't know how it worked. And I thought, Nadine, I know I'm not supposed to tell you this, but if I tell you these words, you get it. And she's like, well, what is it, Nate? And I'm like, ready? She said, yeah. I said, okay, here we go. Nadine. And we're sitting in a car, and I'm doing the best I can to hold myself together. I said, Nadine, we are the children of Malachi 4 that had our hearts turned back to the fathers. That's us. And I was waiting for her to shout and just tear the place up. Yeah, tear the car up. I don't care. No, but she looked at me. She said, Nate, she said, you're just telling me what the church has been telling us. And I was sitting there, and I know I didn't literally see it, but I did see it. I saw a veil drop between us.
Yeah.
And I knew then, I said, she couldn't see it. It's a revelation. That's why you can't tell. But even when you come out of that little room, you try to tell somebody what happened. Until you go in there yourself. That's why everybody in here is talking, I know. Yeah, I've been there. I try to explain what happened when I went in that little room. That's why the angel told Brother Brown that third pool won't be a public show. Because it's a personal revelation. Nobody will know it but you. Nobody can even understand it but you. And the bad thing about it is you can't explain it to somebody else. So you're going to look crazy to the world because you're going to believe something that you can't even explain.
I know that.
But that's the revelation. That's how it worked. And I've got many revelations after that. It was word upon word. He just added a whole bunch of information on top of that first revelation. And that first revelation tied me to the scripture. And I saw myself in the book, just like John in the book of Revelation, who was the type of the bride, when he saw his name all in heaven, all in earth, and everything beneath the earth heard him cry.
Amen.
I knew they could hear me. Because it was that real to me. But that's what a revelation is, and you can't explain it. And so these guys are trying to serve God by the letter, and they were following Moses as long as they could understand what Moses' letter said. Amen. So when he said gather, they gathered, but they gathered too much.
Yeah.
Then he said, don't gather on the Sabbath day, and then he didn't gather on the Sabbath day. Or before they got to the Sabbath day, Luke said, you guys are getting too much, I'm going to tell on you. But they didn't hear all that the prophet said.
Amen.
So when he got to Moses, Moses said, this is exactly what God said, do, gather. Because when you get to this day, there's no more prophets, no more messages, no more messengers, no more restoration. We've been here, how long, 60 years, 70 years, 60 years? And we have had not one more revelation. It's all, we gathered it all.
Amen.
No more prophet. Our prophet's gone.
Yes.
We're not trying to put this together and figure it out anymore.
Yeah. Amen.
Because we got everything we needed when we got to this day.
Amen.
And we have enough manna that's going to hold us through the entire day.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 25, and Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. Hold all the revivals you want.
Thank God.
Hold all the meetings you want.
See.
At one time, he said, I need laborers.
Man.
I need you to go out in the field. I need you to harvest. I need you to do things for me. That was at one time. But then there came a day that the same God that said, go into the fields, is the same God that said, you won't find it in the fields. When was that day? The Sabbath day.
Wow.
The eternal day. The day of rest. When God was dealing with his people. But the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. That's why I don't run after things. It's, oh, we got this shiny thing over here. I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we had this prophet over here, and he had the pillar of fire shoot from one side of the sky to the other. I don't worry about it. Oh, come see this one. They're having a great revival. That's fine. Praise God. Enjoy yourself. But you're not going to find it out there.
Amen.
You're not going to find it in the field. You know where he's at now? He's in these little places that are gathered all the food in and sitting in there eating.
Amen.
He said, but don't you think you need, you know, Brother Childers told me years ago, and I was so glad he did. I went to Africa and preached in Africa.
Yes.
And when I got back from Africa, you know, I got up and I'll tell how the trip went. Before I could even tell him how the trip went, he looked at me and said, Brother Moore, he said, God told me to tell you something. And you know, I'm like, whoa, what? What's the, why didn't he tell me? What's he telling you to tell me? And you know, I was all ears then. He said, God told me to tell you that running around, holding meetings, trying to save and get converts are over. I was like, oh. He said, now I'm not saying don't go. He said, but when you go, understand this. You're going to share what you have and fellowship. You're not trying to build this message up. You're not trying to get everybody in it. He says, that's over. God said, God told me that's over. And now I'm reading this, I'm like, that goes right into that. And that's why when I go travel overseas and wherever I go, I say, look, I'm here to share my knowledge of the mystery. That's all I'm here to do.
Amen.
I'm not trying to save you. I'm not trying to convert your people. I'm not trying to get them to follow me. I'm not trying to get them to do all this stuff because, you know, people, they'll follow anything.
That's right.
A strange thing happened. I won't go into details on it, but something real weird happened while I was in the Philippines. And I told Brother Doug, I said, oh, Doug, that's just this. Don't even worry about it. Because I know if I went the other way with it, it would have blown up and been some big deal, and they would have had all this stuff and on. And I just said, Doug, it was just this. No big deal. Because I know how people are.
Right.
They're seeking for a sign.
Yeah.
You know, they're all looking for a sign. I'd rather not even give them a sign than to give them the wrong sign. Because I'm not going there to try to make a name for myself. I'm just fellowshipping around the mystery. And that's all I do where I go here, there, anywhere. I'm not trying to take your people. Y'all live too far away from me. I'm just here sharing with God. I'm here sharing the word of God. This is all I got. I've got quail and I've got bread and I'm sitting here eating and enjoying myself and trying to share what I've got with you. But I'm not out here trying to create something because I know the fields are empty now.
Man, brother.
It's a different hour. It's a different hour. It's a different need. Different push, Brother Allen. We're not out here trying to build some. People still trying to build these big revivals and big meetings and. That ain't what Moses said. Moses told us a revival only lasts about 3 years. And it's done. We've been 60. Fields are empty. He said, can people still be saved? Yeah, as the Lord wants to save them, he'll save them. I'm not saying that people aren't still coming in. People are still coming in our church. I'm just saying that our mindset needs to be what the prophet's mindset was. And understanding that we're not here to try to save this world. It's gone.
That's right.
But the children of Israel have been given manna by God, and the proof that it's God is that we're still eating 60 years later.
Amen.
And it's just as real and true to me now than it's ever been, and I still get tired of. I can't even get off this scripture. I got 10 pages here. I'm on the same scripture because there was so much in just that little reading that I thought I can't just run over it. I'd rather stay here all day and talk about this and close out. Then to give you all the scriptures I have and all the studying, because my study ain't worth a hill of beans. I'm not here to show you how much I've studied and what I've learned. I'm here to give you what thus saith the Lord for right now.
Amen.
For today. What God wants you to hear today. That's all I'm here to do. It's not about me and showing you how well I studied this message.
Amen.
Because I know that the fields are empty. People wonder why people, the churches are closing left and right. People are leaving a message. They're leaving a message.
Yes, they are.
People are settling down on the other side of Kadesh Barnea. Not even going all the way. They did not make it to Canaan's land at Kadesh Barnea. But there's another generation raising up. We're all a part of that. I'm looking around this church.
Amen.
We're all a part of that.
Amen.
Do you realize that it's getting rare to find somebody who sat in Brother Branham's meeting? It's getting rare to find somebody who's followed the prophet.
Amen.
So if you're going to find it, you're going to find it from the manna that's been stirred up that the children of Israel ate even when Moses left them. We're not sitting here trying to preach you Brother Branham. We're talking about what he stored up. We're telling you that we are in an hour now that there's a generation that's raised up that loves God now and understands what it is. Are you saying, are they not going in? Oh, no, they're going in.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's some people that went in by walking into the promised land. And there's some people that met us over there. Do you realize the Old Testament saints, they resurrected with Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah. Lord. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they got, and Moses, remember Moses never got in the promised land with the rest of the children, but he made it.
Amen.
You say, how do you know he made it? He was up there in Mount Transfiguration.
That's right.
Amen.
So everybody, all Israel will be saved.
Yes.
But here we are in the hour we're living in the day that we're living in, and the day that we're living in is the seventh day.
Amen.
But the bride is moved in the eighth day.
Yes.
Yeah. So you got to understand where to get on off your types. Nope. The church, the hour that we're living in is in the seventh day, but the bride herself is living in the eighth day. Right. Because she's followed the light, and the light left the church, the age,
yeah.
and moving to the bride. But the same scenario where you have the food stored up and the bride's eating, that's why we're still having fellowship, and that's why we're still doing what we do, because we have had the Word of God given to us.
Right.
Amen.
And I've got to jump through this thing. It's 12:30. I don't know. What time you get out of church? So you don't know? Okay, I'm going to move on. I'm really going to move on. The title of this message that I was trying to bring, and I'm not going to do it all, is Breaking of the Bread.
Amen.
Breaking of the Bread. And I thought about that in many ways. And that's why I was excited to come here. Well, you'll see after a while. I was excited to come here. But Breaking of the Bread. God always broke the bread to show that it's Him.
Yeah. Amen.
All the signs and wonders they did down in Egypt didn't satisfy the people. With Moses, all those signs and wonders, they didn't do the job. But what people, you know, people like to eat.
Yeah.
And God knew that if I can feed them in the wilderness, they would know that it had to be me.
Right.
That's what Moses said. Well, how did God know? And he said, they'll know it's me. I will feed them. Then they will know that it's me. I'll break bread with them. So I want to go over here, St. John chapter 6, because that ain't the only time God broke bread for the people. And the thing is that if you want to find God, find where He's feeding.
Amen.
That's what thrills me, is that you find an old dried up church, don't have nothing going for them, no revelation moving, no God moving, the people are dried up and dying of thirst and hunger, and you look at them and you say, well, God ain't there. Well, how do you know God's not there? Because they're dying. The people need to be fed. And the only one that feeds them is God. When you've got God feeding the people, you've got God.
Amen.
How do you know God's in that church? The people are.
That's right.
Spiritually fat.
Amen.
They're hungry. They're on fire. They love the Word. They love coming to church. They love serving God. Then you found God. That's the evidence of God being there. He's still breaking the bread to the people. Jesus told them over there in St. John 6, He said, I am, verse 48, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
Oh my, here we go, another feeding. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven.
No.
That a man may eat thereof and not die. Jesus knew God was feeding again.
Amen.
And how are you going to know that God was feeding? They were going to get hold of the bread of life.
Amen.
They're going to get hold of Jesus. And when you get hold of the bread of life, Jesus told the woman at the well, says, you're thirsty and you're trying to get some water out of this old dry well. He said, you drink from me, you'll never thirst again.
Amen.
He said, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
I am the living bread which come down from heaven. Whoa, wait a minute. Didn't the bread come down from heaven when he was in the Old Testament saints? We read where he fed them out of heaven.
Oh, yeah.
So God has been doing this. See, the thing is, we don't understand what God's doing. True. But if you can find God's fingerprints, you can find God. That's how you find thieves.
Amen.
Somebody break in your house, and they'll go and they'll get the fingerprints. And then they take their fingerprints and tie it to the person that it belongs to. If you want to find God, find His fingerprints.
Amen.
And God said His fingerprints is that when you find the people eating, they'll know that it's me.
Amen.
Here Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I come down out of heaven. In other words, God, they're God's fingerprint.
Amen.
I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh.
Yes.
Which I will give for the life of the world. Here God is. Now it's just not Jesus. Jesus was the bread, but God was giving Him.
Amen.
Just like the quail in the old wilderness, it wasn't the quail that was so important. It was the fact that God was showing that I've got this thing.
Amen.
Jesus, Brother Branham said, he says, John 6, when they were taking communion, or whatever it was, breaking the bread and having a great time there at that Jubilee. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that comes from God out of heaven. He that eats my flesh has eternal life, and I shall raise him up in the last days. He knew he would do it. He said he was the bread of life, and that he was.
Right.
Amen.
The thing about it that it always amazes me, God is always concerned about us eating.
Yes.
Whether it's in the natural or the spiritual.
Amen.
Remember when Jesus had the 5,000 following him and he got out there and they were outside of the city, too far away to go to Kroger's and too far away to get something to eat from their houses. Jesus said, hey guys, these people are hungry. We need to feed them. Say, find out what we got amongst us. Here you go to bread of life again.
Amen.
He said, we got two little fishes.
Right.
Yes.
And we got some bread here. Why is bread always showing up? Bread's always showing up. He said, we got some fish and some bread here. That's all we got. Two little fish and five loaves of bread. And he said, well, okay. He said, have them sit down in groups. This group here, this group there, this group there. Why was Jesus so concerned about their natural? Why didn't he just preach to them? Because he wanted to show them
Amen.
That God's thumbprint was there.
Amen.
And it wasn't Jesus doing this. It was God through Christ.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And God was trying to show them that he's in him. See that? And that's what he loves to feed.
Right.
So they sat down in there, ate that bread. And it's funny how this happens. Now listen, God's always got an order. I love this too. God has an order. Now Jesus didn't say, sit them down. And said, disciples, just break this up and just take them. He could have done it. He could break it up into it. But God has an order. God was going to bless it through Jesus.
Yeah.
So Jesus took the bread and broke it and handed it to the disciples to hand to the 5,000. Jesus took the fish and broke it and handed it. He was doing that. He was showing that God's doing it. Otherwise, the disciples would have got the credit. The disciples found some bread somewhere. They got that fish somewhere. No. Jesus said everything. No man can do anything. No man can go to the Father but by me. I am the bread. I am the bread of life. I'm the one doing these things. And that was God putting his fingerprint on it. Let me everybody see. Whoa, look at that. When they finished, they had more bread than they started with.
That's right.
12 baskets full. And the funny thing about it, that I never thought about until the prophet said it. And I'm going to read you his quote. He said that God's gifts are in their places. Yeah. Said his words exactly show he and his works prove that he was nothing less than the Creator. He took a piece of bread and broke it and kept breaking that one piece of bread and fed 5,000 people out of it and took up seven basket pieces left over. And everybody there had a complete filling of bread. I said 12. Brother Brent said seven baskets. And he took, listen to this part. This is the part that just really blows my mind. I mean, the first part did, but this was even worse. He took a fish and broke that fish off. Now, if we realize that he did create that fish in the beginning, he did create, we realize that.
Amen.
He did create the bread in the beginning. But he took a fish, that fish, and broke that fish off. A live fish had been, and was, he it was a live fish, and was then boiled, or fried. You never think of that. It was boiled or fried. And whatever he broke it off, whatever it was, boiled or fried, it growed back. The same minute that he broke it, another boiled fish or fried fish.
Okay.
Isn't that wonderful? Shows that he was nothing less than Jehovah. Think about it. We think it was a miracle that he broke off a fish and fed the 5,000, but the miracle wasn't that he fed the 5,000. The miracle was that he gave him five fish.
Right.
They get all forget. They forget the little details. God didn't just give him a piece of raw fish. He prepared it. I bet you that's the best fish they ever had. Remember when Jesus turned the water into wine? They got to that wedding and they ran out of wine. And his first miracle, Mary said, oh, Jesus, we're out of wine. He said, Philip, get some water. And when they handed it to the host, the host said, whoa, where did you find this? It's the best wine ever. God made the best wine there was. God made the best bread there was. God made the best fish there was. God doesn't have to do it. They probably thought, my goodness, this is so good. I wish you could eat more, but I guess I have to give it up. God knows what he's doing, but he likes to let us see him feed the people.
Amen.
Now listen to what Brother Branham said in Awake Jesus. He said, remember. He said, all ye of little faith, couldn't you understand about breaking of the bread and feeding the 5,000? Don't you know that I'm the same Jehovah that fed them for 40 years out in the wilderness, out of ovens, out of heaven, when I poured it out every night? Were you scared about, what you so scared about? Don't you know I dried up the Red Sea one day? Don't you know I opened up this earth and swallowed up unbelievers? One day I measured the earth and spread it out. And spit it out into space yonder. And he's in the ship. That's no mystical, that's the truth. So he was talking about how that we forget. Those disciples who were standing there with Jesus when they saw the blind eyes open. They saw him walk on water. They saw the dead raised. They saw all these things. Got out on the ship and got out there and looked at the storm. And Jesus already told them, go to the other side. He had already given them the word of God. But they got bogged down with the surroundings and the situations and forgot what God said. That's what we do so often.
Amen.
We forget what God says. We get in the situations and we believe God in the sunny days. But when it gets bad, you know, my poor dog, he's afraid of thunder. She's afraid of thunder. And I was in there sleeping this morning and it thundered. And I'm having a good old sleep. And she took her paw. And she hit me in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Now, I knew she was already nervous. She gets nervous. I knew she was nervous. And I thought, I just ignored her. So she's slobbering all over me. And she hits me again in the head. And I'm like, Molly, get out of here. So she got off the bed and got under the bed. Well, Chloe's told me later today, this morning, she said, you know where I found Molly this morning? She was in the bathtub with the shower curtain closed. I said, well, she at least knew what they do with tornadoes. But she forgets. She forgets when we're taking, she gets to used to the circumstances. You got to understand, we've got this.
Yeah.
We've got this. God's got it. He's taking you through everything else, and he's done all these other things for you. Why would he let it drop now? He's built seven church ages. He's had seven messengers. He had people do the work of God through every age. And why is he going to get up to the end time on the seventh day when we're supposed to have something to eat and forget us?
Amen.
Those disciples got on that water and they got to see those waves and they forgot all about how much Jesus told them to go to the other side.
Amen.
And it's funny because when Jesus got up out of the bottom of the boat and peace be still, calmed the waters down, he said, thank you, boys. Whew, that was a close one. Whew, what? He rebuked them. He's like, why did you wake me up? I told you to go to the other side. Oh, ye of little faith.
Amen.
In other words, you could have done this yourself. Okay. Let me get back on Matthew 26. Jesus said in verse 26, they had the disciples, and he had gone up to the upper room. Not the upper room. They went up to do the Passover. They had a room. It was a room up, but it was just a room set aside for, they had gotten the room for the Passover meal. Matthew 26 and verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Here he goes again. Trying to put God's thumbprint. Let them see. Took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink, ye all, drink all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. For the remission of sin. God feeding his people. God taking care of his people.
Yeah.
Jesus was the bread of life.
Yes.
God was going to use him to take care of things that we needed to have broken. Now, and this is why I was excited about this morning. I'm going to read this quote. This is exciting to me because I thought, it never crossed my mind until I was getting things together. And I said, hey, And why little Bethlehem is the message.
There you go.
And I thought, oh, I got to take this one. In the message, Why Little Bethlehem, Brother Bowler said, and the name Bethlehem, the name Bethlehem means house of God's bread.
Amen.
Now, how fitting that is to Jesus, the bread of eternal life. Christ is the bread of life. We all believe that, don't we? How fitting Bethlehem there, the bread center of the world.
Amen.
Y'all know that about y'all, did you? Y'all the bread center of the world. Is the bread center of the world? Or is the bread center of eternal life? That's why the king had to be born there. He said in St. John 6:35, I am the bread of life that comes from God out of heaven. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and all are dead. But this bread, if a man eats this bread, he shall live forever. Then Jesus said, then Jesus is the bread of life. So the bread of life had to come at Bethlehem. He is the bread of life for the journey of the journey like Israel. Jesus is talking about like Israel in the Old Testament. God gave Israel bread out of the skies for their journey. Where do we get our bread from?
Oh, yeah.
Giving bread out of the skies for the journey. As a journey from where they left Egypt unto the promised land. Bread nightly rained down from the skies. And God gave us the bread of life for our journey. Comes at Bethlehem. God's house of bread. See how it had to be? It must be where the name is called Bethlehem, the house of God's bread.
Right.
Then how can he be born in Jerusalem? How could he be born in Ramoth Gilead? See? He come to where his name was, house of God's bread.
Amen.
God always goes to his house.
Yes.
He loves bread. Because it shows where he is. It shows what he's doing. He used it in the Old Testament. He used it in the New Testament. Jesus was the bread of life. Satan tried to trick God when he told Jesus, turn this stone into bread. Jesus didn't have to turn the stone into bread because he was the bread.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Satan didn't understand what he was dealing with. Satan didn't know he was the bread. He didn't know he was a thumbprint of God. He didn't know when Jesus left here, he's going to leave God's thumbprint. Because remember, God uses his bread to feed his people.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Amen. Show you how important this bread is, and I got to move. It's almost 1 o'clock. Okay, I'm going to try to wrap this up by 1. Lord help me. It's 12:54. Just real quick, Luke chapter 24. Jesus was walking with the disciples 3 days after the resurrection on the road. And they were all upset because they forgot what he told them. And he walked with the disciples. And they were saying, yeah, they were all upset. And Jesus said, why? Why? What's going on? They said, well, the Jesus, the prophet, the man that was ordained to come to us, they took him and they killed him. That's how Jay says it that way at church. He said, they killed the man. they killed him. They crucified him. And Jesus was walking with him and listening to him. And he said, oh, really? And they said, yeah, he did this. He did that. He said, oh, really? And Jesus standing there. Oh, he knows exactly what they did. And Jesus was walking with him. He said, let me just talk to you a little bit. So what he did was he took and he went all the way back to Moses, back to the Bible. See, any man of God's going to take you back to the Word of God. He's not going to give you his thinking. He's not going to give you his ideas. He's going to take you back to what God said and start there. And he took him all the way back to Moses. It said, Moses said, and he started preaching to him and preaching to him and preaching to him. He preached to him all day long. But you know what? They weren't getting it. Because you can't get it just by somebody just talking to you. You know, you can't get away off preaching. You have to have it. See, Jesus, before you can do anything for him, had to preach to him. Before you can get born again, you got to be preached to.
Amen.
So Jesus preached to him, and he got them all the way to the way they were going, and they were like, oh, man, we are just so enthused with what you got to say, sir. Why don't you come on in here with us? Come on in. We want you to stay with us a little while. So Jesus is like, okay, well, I ain't got nothing else to do. Might as well stick it out here, until I can get to what I need to do. So Jesus went in with them. And they sat down and they started, he talked to them, he preached to them. Verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent.
Yeah.
And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Here you go. God's taking care of feeding them again. Sat at meat with them. He took bread.
Amen.
Here comes that thumbprint.
Yep.
God's trying to do something. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. When God does that, it opens your eyes.
Right.
When God breaks his bread, you can see who he really is.
Yes.
He broke their bread, and their eyes were open, and they knew him.
Right.
Anytime God gave bread, you find out who he is. How did he tell me in the Old Testament? Oh, I'm going to feed them. How did God bless you? I'll feed them. I'll take care of them.
Hallelujah.
Oh, when he got over there, those people were trying to serve him. They loved him. They wanted to be right. But they just didn't have somebody to preach to them. But then Jesus preached to them and broke the bread to them. And then their eyes were open.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Branham said in the book, when their eyes were open, now when the word comes to you, when you accept God's word and it comes into you, then the promise of the promise that was, that you've accepted manifests itself, and then you know who it is.
Amen.
But what did he do? How did he make himself known unto them? Because he did the same things that he did before his crucifixion. See, God's been doing this all. We just didn't know how to find his thumbprint. He did it before the crucifixion. He broke bread with them before the crucifixion.
Right.
He broke bread with them in the Old Testament.
Yes.
How did he do it? He did the same thing that he did before the crucifixion. Then they know that it was him. Because he had raised from the dead, all the preaching, all the teaching, and everything else had done and had failed. But when he received himself, when he revealed himself doing the same thing he did before his crucifixion, they knew it was him, and their eyes were opened.
Amen.
Amen.
How are we going to find God today? And I got to wrap this up. How are we going to find God today?
Amen.
You got to find where his bread is. And when he breaks his bread before you,
amen,
your eyes will be opened.
Amen.
And then you'll know it was him.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen.
Luke chapter 12, chapter 11, and I think I'm going to read this quote and I'm quitting. That's not even where I want to go, but that's all right. I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be talking about the bread of life in little Bethlehem. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day, our daily bread.
Amen.
God gives his bread for every day.
Yes.
If you want to know where God is, don't look for a church that's got the well-known preacher. Don't look for the church that's got the great big congregation. Don't look for the church that's got a lot of money, that's rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Look for somewhere that's serving the bread of God. Look for the footprint of God. Find out where the bread's being served. And I don't care if it's five people. Get on in there. Because it's not in the number of people that's in your building that makes God send his bread. It's the believing heart that makes God send his bread. And if I preached in Africa over a coffee table in a living room to about five people before.
Amen.
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost come down and feed the people there.
Yes.
It's not in the numbers. It's in how many can believe the word of God.
Yes.
How many can recognize him? How many can eat the word, eat the bread, take in the bread? And when you take the bread of God in, your eyes will be opened.
Amen.
Amen.
One more quote, and I don't know how this is going to land, but I'm going to read this one. I ain't done, but I'm just going to quit. Okay. The word bread, this is the book, The Harvest Time. The word bread always means to be fed on. And man shall not live by bread, like this bread alone, but by every word. So that the word bread, keep that in mind. This is a bread that the church, through the ages, has fed on. Has been the hidden manna, just for the overcomer only. God's bread is only for us.
Right.
In every age, it's always just been only for us. God's been feeding bread in every age. It didn't just start now.
Amen.
Remember that quail was every day.
Amen.
It's for the overcomer only. Revelation said so. Now, I don't have time to break this whole thing down. Amen. Because it'll probably got another 30 minutes. But look, when the holy manna fell from heaven, which was a type of the Holy Ghost, you agree with that? God told Moses to go out and get an omer full of it and put it in the holies of holies. Because if they didn't put it in the holies of holies, it became stagnant. Is that right? See, when God puts it in a way, when God puts bread away, it doesn't get stagnant. Even though it was the same bread that they were eating every day that was getting stale, it didn't get stale when God put it in His holies of holies.
Right.
Amen.
It stayed fresh.
Right.
God told Moses to go out and because it becomes stagnant. Is that right? The worms got into it. Now He said, put it in the holies of holies, in the Omar, that every generation coming up after that priesthood, when a man becomes to go to be a priest, to minister the word, the first thing he gets to do after he's ordained is to go in and get a handful of the original manna.
Wow.
We're eating on the original manna.
Amen.
Get a piece of the original manna and eat it.
Man.
That was to represent the light in his hand. In the new church age, reflecting his light, the manna. That's what Brother Boone was tying into the church. He said, each messenger went into that holies of holies and got just a little bit, whatever God had. See, I've been really working on these church ages at our church and trying to explain to them that it wasn't that the people were getting away from the word of God. It was that God only allowed so much of his manna to be fed for each age.
Right.
And God's the one that breaks the manna off. You don't go up to him and say, I want a quart, I want a, you know, you got a Subway, you got a 6-inch, 8-inch, 9-inch, or whatever it is. You tell him what you want. You don't go up to God and say, I want a 6-inch sub. No. You go to him, he breaks off what he wants you to have for your day.
Amen.
Amen.
He says that was to represent the light in his hand. In the new church age, reflecting his light, the manna. And only the man that's perfectly overcome, the man that really sets down and throws aside everything else but besides the word, and that word is the manna. Oh my, it's Jesus. Man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the hidden manna for the overcomer. Oh, that was laid up for each priesthood to follow it. And I'll just sum it up. God had this manna that he had for the church bride.
Man.
He is the only breaker of the bread.
Yes.
I still want to read that. He is the only breaker of the bread. But you got to understand, it wasn't the churches going in. It was God holding back his revelation to each age.
Amen.
And what causes darkness is the absence of light.
Amen.
It isn't that Irenaeus said, well, I don't believe everything Paul said. No, he believed all that he was ordained to believe because that's all that Jesus broke off and handed him for his age.
Amen. Yeah.
So that's why God can wink at his ignorance, because it wasn't Irenaeus' fault that he didn't believe 100%. It was all the bread that was given to him.
Amen.
Such for every age.
Amen.
And God did that. God broke the bread in every church age.
Right.
It wasn't the age messenger going in and getting what bread he wanted. It was God handing out what he wanted because he knew what he had allotted for all seven ages. And he had to hold off.
Amen.
but he broke off so much and he knew how much he wanted in each age. And by the time he finished breaking it off, the last of that loaf went in that last age. But then at the end time, on the seventh day, he brought the whole loaf back.
Amen.
All the messengers believe, all that Paul believed. That's why Brother Branham said when he was looking for the messenger, he looked for the man that most represented Paul. Not Jesus. Paul. Because Paul had the complete full revelation.
Right.
He had the whole loaf.
That's right.
Amen. And then when Jesus started breaking that loaf off through the ages, each messenger just received what he needed for his age.
That's right.
And when Luther got that little piece of bread that he had, it's really thin, but he got that little piece and he said, "The just shall live by faith."
Amen.
And he turned the world upside down
yes.
on that one piece of bread.
Amen.
But that piece of bread had God's thumbprint all in it.
Amen.
And Wesley, come on the scene. And this bread was a little thicker than we compared Luther's bread to Wesley's and thinking, Luther was better than Wesley. No. Mm-hmm. Luther did 100% of what Luther was ordained to do.
That's right. Amen.
And when Wesley come on the scene, his piece of bread said there's a sanctification that follows that justification.
Yeah.
And he lived that thing to the fullest. He ate that bread. There's the God's thumbprint. God was there. Pentecost, same thing happened. At the end of the seventh age, God moved the bride. He restored the word. He come down himself
yes.
to feed us this manna.
Amen.
And now he's down here breaking bread.
Right.
And we can eat anywhere on that loaf.
Right.
We can eat what Paul had. We can have what Arrhenius had, Martin, any of them. We believe all of it now.
Amen.
We see the whole loaf now. We're not sitting here in darkness. But we have had God speak to us, and he has been breaking bread the whole time. And we think he's just done it in this day. No, this has been God's whole process. We just didn't know what his fingerprint looked like.
Right.
But once you catch it, you can find him here.
Amen.
You can find him here. You can find him here. You can find him all through the Old Testament. You can find him all the way through the New Testament. Breaking bread, eating, feeding. Abraham knew it. Abraham broke bread with him. All the way through the Old Testament. All the way through the New Testament. Breaking bread with the disciples. Breaking bread with the upper room. Breaking bread. He was trying to show them his prince. God's trying to show them, I'm here. He broke bread down through the ages. I'm going to read that. I'm going to skip. If I can find it. I didn't really realize. I had been talking to my congregation about this. And it was just, I could see it so clear. But then I went back and I was doing my studies. And I saw what Brother Branham said it. And I was about ready to tear it up. I was about ready to tear my study up. But I want to share this with you. Just to sum it up. I know I said the last one's going to be, but this will be the last. I don't want to read any more after Lord willing, after this. This is in the Church Age book. Now listen to how Brother Branham described this. I love it. He said, his word was bread. It was the perfect manna. Which if any man lived by, he shall never die. But right after the death of the fathers, no one seemed to know exactly the truth, and in a short while this manna seemed to have become hidden to the people.
Yeah.
Now listen to what he said though. But in every age, God began to give back the revelation. That which was hidden until the last day, according to Revelations 10 and 7. A prophet would come and reveal all the mysteries, and then the Lord will come. Now, in every age, here it is, in every age, I say the messenger received hidden manna. Wait a minute, I thought they already had it and they just got away from it. No! No, that's not the way it works. We received hidden manna in every age. He said, well, they got what? See, I'm telling you how I used to think. I thought that Paul had it all, and then Irenaeus didn't believe all that Paul had.
True.
And then Martin didn't believe, and it was going in that way. But that's not the truth. The truth is that it was always bread, and it was always God, and it was always him handing out to the messenger the bread for their hour. That's why, and now that some things make sense why Brother Branham said, if the messenger had lived long enough, he'd have been right here with us.
Amen.
The reason he can say that, because a believer believes all the word in every age.
Amen.
They never did. just believed the word of God. They just never had all the word available to them. They only had enough bread to eat for their day.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. Only get enough bread for the day that you're living in. Don't worry. And God was when He was the one responsible for going in.
That's right.
Amen. Because though He had a whole loaf, He broke off a little bit and gave it to Rance and Martin. And those messengers, they weren't prophets, they were messengers, and they only had, and the reason they weren't prophets because they only had part word.
Amen.
Okay. I read. A prophet will come and reveal the mysteries that where was I at? A prophet will come and reveal all the mysteries, and then the Lord will come. Now in each age, I say the messenger received hidden truth.
Hidden. That's right.
But they did not receive it for themselves only.
Right.
But it is as it was when the disciples were asked to serve the multitudes loaves and fishes. Oh, we talked about that.
Amen.
Jesus gave them the broken food. But they in turn gave it to the people.
Amen.
Jesus broke the bread through the ages and handed it to the messenger who handed it to the people.
Amen. Amen.
See, I ain't crazy. Jesus gave them the broken food. But they in turn gave it to the people. God gives His hidden manna to the overcomer. It cannot be otherwise. He would not open His treasures to those who spurn what is already revealed. What I've been saying about the messenger of each age receiving from God some of the original truth of Pentecost. That's the way He's even worded it. He worded it the same way. They received some of the word of the original Pentecost. God, He said, each age receiving from God some of it from God.
Amen.
It wasn't Paul and it's going in.
Mm-hmm.
They got it straight from God, just like Paul did.
Amen.
Right.
Receiving from God some of the original truth of Pentecost is a type out of the Old Testament where Moses was commanded to take up 3 1/2 pints of manna and place it in the golden vessel behind the veil in the holies of holies. There the high priest of every generation could enter with sacrificial blood. Then he could take a small portion of this manna, for it did not corrupt. See, the manna never corrupted through all 7 ages.
Amen.
It never corrupted. But that priest could go in there, and he could get a break off a little bit, for it didn't corrupt, which was part of the original, and eat it. Now, in every age, the messenger of the Lord to that age was given the revelation of God for a specific period.
Amen.
That was only good for that day. For a specific period. Once the messenger was enlightened by truth, he would bring that truth to the people, and they whose ears had been opened by the Spirit would hear the truth, believe it, and live it.
Amen.
So that's how it was working. I always like to put it on me, because you know I think I'm the dumb one in the group, and y'all already have it worked out, and y'all had it right. But me, I was thinking, and this is how I thought the seven church ages worked. I thought Paul had it, and then Irenaeus didn't have everything that Paul had. But I was thinking it's because he didn't preach all that Paul preached, and Martin didn't preach all that Paul preached, and that's how the word went in. And then the word came back out because Luther started preaching what Paul preached and Wesley did. But it's not that way. It was God. It's the Son of Man in the whole seven church ages.
That's right.
It was Him in the midst of the ages. And He was in there breaking off the bread as each age needed it. And that's why every messenger was a son of God, because they didn't turn the word down. They just only had a little bit that God broke off and gave to them.
Amen.
You can only believe what God gives you. He's the only revealer of revelation, and down through the ages, He only broke off and gave, broke off and gave, broke off and gave. But because He had His plan of redemption, He knew how much to give every age.
Amen.
He knew how to make the world go in, because he said for the bride, just like he did to the groom, unless the corn of wheat falls in the ground and abides alone, he purposely held back the revelation, because the bride had to go in just like the groom did, because he had to hold out until we got here.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a prettier picture in my eyes.
Amen.
It's a whole different of God breaking his bread in my eyes. And now when I look at the seven churches, I don't look at it as they were losing the word and Satan coming in and almost taking it over. Satan didn't take nothing.
That's right.
Darkness does not run out light.
Amen.
Light runs out darkness.
Amen.
Darkness is just a silent thing that takes up space that light doesn't want.
Right.
When God didn't want to do the whole thing through the seven church ages, he broke off a little bit and gave Aurelius that much. And then Satan, because the revelation wasn't 100%, he automatically fills in the dark. Look at what happens in the daytime. When this daytime's here, look at this room. We can see everything. But give it a few hours. Let the sun get over here on the other side. Let it start going behind trees and setting down. This room would get darker and it get darker. And I like Jay, I was listening to him this morning. He said when you got light, you can see everything and how to get around a room. And I know, because I got a living room that a lot of times I'll come out of the basement and the lights are out. And because I know my way around my living room, I don't turn a light on, but I'm groping in darkness. I know where the couch is, and sometimes I hit it. I know where the corner of the wall is, but sometimes I hit it. You know, I'm not always on mark with that. Sometimes I hit it wrong. But when the light is on, in the daylight, I don't run into anything.
Amen.
And I like another thing. He didn't say this, but I like this. You know, when you have daylight, I don't even know what he said this morning that made me think of color. When you have daylight, you have color. In the dark, it loses its color.
Amen.
So God wasn't fighting Satan during the seven church ages. God was just doing his business. And what God didn't take, Satan took.
Right.
What God didn't do, Satan did. And when God got to a point where he took it all the way down to just enough light to get his elect, and the rest of it was black pitch, the black horse rider, he broke it off just a little thin slice. Said, that'll do you. And we look at those horse riders, remember this. I'm trying my best to close. Just a little thought, just a little hint here. If you're reading the book of Revelations, it was never the horse riders exposing the beast. It was always the beast exposing the horse rider.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
It was always the beast saying, come and see. Come and see. He said it four times. For every horse rider, he said, come and see. Satan never had it on God. No. God always had it on Satan.
Right.
Satan never hoped for one thing that God didn't already have an answer for.
Amen.
Whether it was the Father of God, whether it was Calvary, whether it was the Word going in, whether it was the restoration, whether it was the bride on the sea. God has always been about his business. Put his thumbprint to let us know where he's at.
Amen.
Everywhere he went, he just put his thumbprint because he knew that you know it's me. Why? Because I'm feeding my people. I never went without feeding my people. When he got through the ages, he left them a front. There you go. That's enough. Because he knew he was going to have a prophet at the end time, and that prophet was going to go back and start checking these thumbprints.
Right.
He says, let me find out where he's been. Let me find out the man that closest represented Paul. There's Jesus. There he is. That's why in Revelation it says he's in the midst, the Son of Man. It's been the Son of Man the whole time in the midst of all seven ages.
Amen.
But he went in as the Son of God. He acted as the Son of God because he was an unseen force. Nobody knew what he was doing. But now at the end time that we got the whole loaf, we know everything. We know everything. Total light now. Satan has nothing on us. That's why he don't run us, we run him.
Amen.
We put as much as light on him as we want to. We got our light.
Yes.
We don't have to believe him. We don't have to put up with him. We got the bread of life right in front of us. He's been breaking the bread all the way through.
Amen.
This bride has been eating the bread all the way through.
Amen.
She's never been without. She's never been short. Satan's never had the upper hand. He's never had the upper hand at all.
Amen.
It's been God breaking bread.
Amen.
All the way through. All the way through. And he said he's going to do it his last time to show that it's him. He's going to do his thumbprint one more time.
Amen.
When we get with him in his kingdom.
Amen.
He said, break this bread and do this until I do it again with you one last time in my kingdom.
Wow.
I'm going to break bread with you one more time.
Yeah.
But what you're going to find, and it's been him breaking his bread all the way through, Satan's never had an upper hand, and it's been God showing himself and feeding. Then the proof that it's God is that his people are eating.
Amen.
How do you know we're in God's plan? Because we're eating.
Amen.
We're feasting on the body word of the Son of Man.
Yeah.
We're eating right now. And God has always had food in the storehouse for his bride.
Amen.
She's never been without.
Amen.
And we're not without today.
Amen.
Thank God that we can now see where he's been breaking bread.
Amen.
And how he's broke it all alone.
Amen.
It's never been about Satan. It's never been about the fall. It's been about God showing his redemptive plan and bringing and manifesting all of his attributes and leaving a thumbprint behind us, and they'll find it. They'll find it there too. They'll find it there.
Mm-hmm.
And now we look back, we can see God and how he's been walking all the way through. Thank God. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. So grateful to be a part of this great big plan of yours, to be able to be at the end time. Lord, Brother Branham asked a question, if there's any day we'd want to live, what day would it be? And Lord, oh, this is the day that we could stand here with the full loaf to see everything, to see how you broke it out and how you put it back together. And Lord, we're here looking at your plan, your fingerprints, and it's all over that Bible. That's why we can look anywhere and preach anywhere in it now. We can see it all. No more in darkness, but we're in total light.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for how you've blessed us in such a way. And we are so appreciated, Lord, and want to do everything we can to show our love and appreciation for what you've done for us.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, thank you for little Bethlehem here and this house of bread.
Yes.
And Brother Allen's serving bread here. And how do you know God's here? Because they're eating. You're feeding. And we're thankful for that and thankful for what you're doing at our church in Fairborn and
yes.
for the bride around the world. Lord, you're feeding this bride.
Yes.
Oh, it might not look like the whole world recognizes it, but Lord, your bride recognizes it.
Yes, Lord.
And we're so thankful for this opportunity, so thankful for this word that you've given us. Be with us, Father. Help us to appreciate and help us to keep our eyes on you, because that's the only way we'll be able to see what you're doing.
Yes.
Thank you for all you've done, Lord. Have your way with our lives and help us to push forward and press towards that mark. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Allen, I'm going to lay this right there.
Try it, Brother Tom. Good food. So many things, you know, that as you're sitting here, I'm sure all of you were seeing probably a lot of things just coming through your mind of this point, and things like that.
Amen.
But one thing that comes to my mind, Brother Branham quoted it so many times, and maybe we'll paraphrase it a little bit, but I thank you, Father, because you hid it.
Yes.
Yes.
You hid that manna
yeah.
from the wise and the prudent.
That's right.
But you took and revealed it unto babes.
Right.
Such that would eat it.
Amen.
Right.
And then there was something, I wrote down so many notes, but this is a good catch right here. Brother Moore said something like this, but I put things in my own words sometimes. Our whole day message, not a partial day, but
right.
it's a whole day message, never gets old.
No.
Never gets old.
Amen.
God proves his own word by bringing it to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what that tells me, and we try to emphasize it so much, as we said earlier, God is not a floater. He's not out here floating
yes.
around.
Mm-hmm.
But since he brings the food to you, since he brings the bread to you, he's here.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So he's here. He's here every Sunday.
Yes, he is.
He's here. He's here every time we have church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because he's the God of hospitality.
Yes, he is.
He wants to feed. He wants to make you feel at home.
Amen.
See, and if you didn't have the bread, you didn't have the manna, you wouldn't feel welcome, would you?
No.
But he don't care for me. He gives me leftovers and all that good stuff. So there's so many things in here. Know that he is God because he keeps feeding.
Right. Amen.
He keeps feeding us eagles.
Yes, amen. Yes, he does. Yes.
Where the carcass is, where the man is at.
Yes.
Amen.
Wherever he's feeding, that's where the eagles will be gathered together.
Yes. Amen.
It's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps feeding us eagles with fresh manna. And when you look at it, every minister of God is inspired to speak what God gives him.
Amen.
Now think about this. God inspired himself.
Yes, he did.
And then through that same inspiration, he wanted to speak. He thought by inspiration, then he spoke by the same inspiration. And then look at all the prophets coming down through the ages. Look at your ministers.
Right.
We're not excluded. And if you really look at it, all of us are ministers sitting here.
Right.
We're
right.
Eagles.
That's right.
We have the word because the word comes to the prophet. We're all prophets in a
right.
sense.
Amen.
Amen.
Because of, did the word come today?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you eat it?
Right.
Did God bring you the food?
Yes.
Well, then we're eagles.
Amen. Amen.
But by the same inspiration that he thought, he wanted to play that back by speaking it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not only did he want to speak, but he wanted to come on down a little bit further and make it flesh.
Amen.
Right.
It's a playback.
Yes.
What God thought never changed.
Right.
He just kept playing and he played it and he played it.
Amen.
Right.
You ever watch a movie, a replay, and you think, I hope that fella don't get killed this time. But it's a replay.
Amen.
Yes.
Right.
See, God never changes his mind.
No, he doesn't.
Right.
His truth is eternal.
Amen.
And that's where he's pulling it from.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that, Brother Moore, as you were talking about the manna, the hidden manna.
Mm-hmm.
The manna was there.
Oh, yeah.
There was one likened unto the Son of Man that was in the church age.
Amen.
Amen.
He was in that church. Everything that John wrote about showed that he was there.
That's right.
All the way through, he was in that church.
Amen.
Amen.
But he was giving it out. You can't give too much light at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It'll kill it.
Amen. Amen.
But we got full light now.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Let's enjoy it.
Amen. Amen.
Let's enjoy it. Take it all in.
Yes.
Amen.
It is all good.
Amen.
And we had this little resident at my workplace when I worked at the nursing home. And she said, I ate it all gone.
Amen.
She ate, I ate it all gone. God's good to us.
Amen. Let's see,
Deanna, just real quick here, and we'll sing something. Brother David.
Amen.
I'm on the battlefield for the Lord.
Okay.
Amen.
Key of G. Amen. Let's stand if you would. Go ahead, Brother David.
I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. If I hold the battlefield for my Lord. Oh,
enjoyed this. Brother Moore, we appreciate you and congregation for coming.
Amen.
And we had first dibs today on this fresh message. If you're listening in, Fairborn, we had first dibs today. I think I feel pretty special. Yeah, we'll rub that in a little bit. Sure is good food to me.
Amen.
To feed us, to make us feel welcome, to make us feel home.
Amen.
We never want to see Jesus with dirty feet.
Amen.
Always make him feel welcome.
Amen.
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 Let's do that. I love the Lord Jesus, don't you?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful today that you gave to us a hidden manna, and not so much hidden to us, Lord, but it's hidden to the world.
Yes, Lord.
And I like how Brother Moore brought it in, Lord. Just God wants to feed us.
Yes, you do.
And when we're being fed, it shows that God's near. It shows that his presence is here. We thank you for that understanding, Lord.
Yes.
As Brother Moore said, you can't explain God. Mm-hmm. You can't explain him. God is who he is, but we shall know God by him revealing himself to us.
Right.
It takes you to reveal it, Lord, and we thank you for that revealing. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless every one of us as we leave.
Yes, Lord.
And we'll say in our hearts, did not our hearts burn within us today?
Amen.
We ate manna from your table, Lord. You fed us. And, Lord, there's a burning there. There's a fire going.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you for that presence, Lord. Be with each one. We thank you for holding the rain back.
Yes.
I pray that you'll hold it back now, Lord, and let Lisa have a safe trip where she's going.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And we'll give you thanks for everything now in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you're dismissed.
Amen.